your blood. You look to your buddies. You look to your friends.
There's only a couple guys in the whole world that make me love pro wrestling, and you're one of them.
You know all the bad shit you've heard about us? It's all true. But another thing that's true is we love professional wrestling, and that's why we're here. I'm not sports entertainment anymore.
Talk to him, kid.
This is a new beginning, and it starts tonight.
A new day is dawning for DX.
You know who you're talking to.
Welcome, everybody, to X-Pac 12360. I'm your host, Sean X-Pac Waltman. My chair just went down on accident. Anyways, thanks, everyone, for joining us. Got a lot to talk about today. So much that we don't even need a guest. Hey, real quick, congratulations to Chael Sonnen, our guest last week.
Yeah. All
right.
We brought him luck.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. I didn't know how that was going to go because Wanderlei's a badass.
Mm-hmm.
So is Chael. He showed it.
Yeah. What did you think of the after fight push?
Oh, it was textbook. Yeah. It was excellent. Yes. And the thing about Bellator is like these guys in that like legends division that they have, it doesn't matter if they win or lose because people care about them and they want to see these fights between people they care about. And it doesn't matter if they just lost one 6 months ago or, I mean, it's just a different approach to things and I dig it.
Bellator is doing things so right across the board. And they drew, this last Bellator, drew more views than the UFC on the same weekend.
Wow.
And I,
that's
like...
huge.
You mean pay-per-view buys?
No, they're both on TV.
Mm-hmm.
There are more viewers for Bellator.
Yeah, Bellator was pay-per-view this time.
Oh, sorry. Well, still. They outdid the most recent UFC, comparable UFC. And I really hope that Bellator keeps pushing, keeps signing all the UFC free agents.
Yeah, a lot of them are leaving.
UFC fighters are getting disgruntled, and they should be. Because UFC is running their business bad.
Yep.
And Bellator is doing everything the right way across the board for MMA. They know that the legend fights.
Yes.
They can make as many super fights as they want, and it doesn't matter, and people will keep coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And if the fighters want to fight, they can put them in fights. And they don't have to pretend, like UFC is doing, this legend wants to come back, they can just get a title fight. And
right.
The hell with all the guys that aren't making any money that have been working their asses off for years trying to climb the ranks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's just a different, it's a different way. It's kind of like in wrestling how, people that try to compete with WWE, they end up just trying to emulate them, and Bellator's going a different route, and I dig it. You know, some people will criticize it for, obvious reasons, like the... for instance, I'll just take the Kimbo fight or, things like that.
Yeah.
Or the passing of Kimbo, unfortunately. So, people are going to, say things about that. But, no one sat and thought, okay, these guys are going to,
Right.
No one is thinking, we don't give a shit. We're going to put these guys in. We don't care if they're in bad health. You still have to pass.
Physical.
Yeah, man.
Like Chael said, clean enough.
Clean enough.
How great was that he said that? Basically clean.
And he cut a great promo after the fight, too. Awesome, calling out Tito and everybody else.
Chael's always been the best at that. Chael's always been a fan, a student of pro wrestling. And he knows how to sell fights.
Mm-hmm.
He knows how to hype things up.
Tito won that fight. And Chael is such a good shit talker and such a great heel. And he just says, I made him tap in a minute.
Yeah.
Because he did have him.
And even Ronaldo on the mic was like, don't ever let the truth get in the way of a great story.
Yeah, but I can see that. I can see, even though Tito won that fight, I can see him wanting to, have another fight with Chael, even though he won the first one.
Oh, yeah.
It just seems like,
Tito Ortiz has proved he will fight someone as often as they want him to fight.
Well, the thing is, though, it's like, I think he's serious about the, the retirement and everything, and he's asked to have neck surgery. And, he told me after his fight with Chael, because I like them both, and I know them both, and, Tito told me, he said, people knew my neck was messed up, so I worked extra hard on it. And, he you look at Tito, he's got a big old fat ass neck anyways, you know? So I think that's...
He weighs 250 from the neck up.
He does. He's such a big guy. Maybe one of the bigger guys to ever get down to 205.
Yeah.
Really. Anyways, I could go on and on about all this stuff. Congratulations to Chael Sonnen.
Yes.
And also congratulations to Matt Mitrione, one of my favorite heavyweights out there, for his decisive first round victory over the legendary Fedor Emelianenko.
Yeah, and because of what happened in that early on in that fight, we actually our amazing MMA writer Jared Jones today on UpRocks posted a complete history of double knockouts in MMA.
How many are there?
I mean, there haven't been that many, but they're all worth watching. So.
And Chael, you know, Chael capitalized and you know, he focused on all the positive things of, okay, even though Fedor lost that fight, he's still a viable, you know.
It goes back to the names.
Yes,
he's
exactly.
He's someone fans can get behind that they want to see.
And it wasn't like, you know, when you get two heavyweights out there like that and they're throwing bombs, you know, somebody gets hit and things end early. That doesn't mean the other guy sucks or is out of, you know, or is like, you know, over the hill. I mean, he's past his prime, but come on. I mean, there's still some fights left there.
Oh, yeah.
Well, look at someone like Chris Lieben. Like, MMA is such that everyone understands a fight can end at any time for any reason because, you know, hopefully the fighters are evenly matched. But someone like Chris Lieben, who is just someone who lost all his fights but took such a hellacious beating, people loved him, him to death. And you know, he had a good long career because of that. Now, there's some repercussions to that, but he became a fan favorite, and he made a good living, and he was...
Sure, there was a boxer named Arturo Gatti that was, you know, he lost a lot of fights, and he's no longer with us for really terrible reasons, but... anyways, he was, you know, he had this famous fights with Mickey Ward and famous for getting the shit beat out of him and bleeding all over the place and still fighting all the way through, you know.
Well, but people like, I mean, it extends to all fighting sports and to all sports in general. If you lose but can lose in a exciting, consistently entertaining way, like that's what got Dolph Ziggler over, that's what got Daniel Bryan over in WWE. I mean,
yeah.
Washington Generals, people still go see them play, right?
To me, I think those guys are...
Some people.
Washington Generals.
Very few.
Told you the whole
Globetrotters. Globetrotters reference there. But yeah, no, I... those guys that can maintain their box office appeal after a loss are more valuable to me than somebody that's on a winning streak.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion.
I think once you just respect two people who obviously look like they put in work before the fight, and when you're watching the fight, you see that they're giving their all, whether they win or lose. Sounds very cliche, but you can appreciate that versus somebody who just comes in the ring and they obviously haven't put in that work.
Well, Stephen Bonner is in the UFC Hall of Fame because he lost the most exciting fight of all time.
Yeah,
you know?
And they got the both contracts.
Yep.
Even Matt Riddle has said in interviews that the mentality of fighting for like fight of the night or submission of the night is a lot more because of the bonus incentive.
Yeah.
So instead of like going out there and just doing whatever, you're actually making it entertaining. And he's talked about when they're like, he'll be on the ground and he's fighting a guy and the guy's like, oh, I thought we were going to stand. He's like, well, work me back to the cage then. And he works them back up to the cage, and then they strike and separate and everyone gets on their feet and cheers. And then they get the fight of the night bonus. You know, so it gives you incentive to change your mentality of not just going out there to make a quick victory and make a quick buck, but entertain the fans so that, if you lose the next five fights in a row, people aren't like, oh, I don't want to see him because he's just going to lose again. They're like, I want to see him because he's going to go out there and give his all.
I'd like to see, you're talking about the incentive bonuses and, you know, knockout bonus, fight of the night, this and that. I want to see that implemented in pro wrestling.
That's a huge topic right now because there's a big issue with fans tipping wrestlers at Wrestle Circus, and fans were up in arms like, oh, we already pay you. Why do you need to get tips? Why should we
then
tip
don't
you?
Tip.
Yeah.
If you want to tip, tip. If you don't, don't.
Yeah.
Nobody's like, that's the thing. Why do you got to make an issue out of it? I mean, it's an anonymous thing anyways. Like, it's not like nobody, it's not like if you don't do it, anyone's going to, like, no tip shame you.
And it's not something where it's like people in the building are, you know, as the match is happening, throwing money at the wrestlers. It's a Twitch feature that happens to anybody who streams where people
And didn't
can,
it stream for free on Twitch?
And it streamed for free on Twitch.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a very silly notion, and it's just taking advantage of a platform feature. And I think WrestleCircus is a lot smarter for doing it.
I did see one independent wrestler say that if people were really upset about the fact that people are tipping fans, that if you're a person who's upset about that, why don't you consider donating to charity instead? You
know? Or something. Unless you're just one of those people that loves to find shit to bitch about.
Right. And I think you just described wrestling fans.
Pretty well, not just wrestling fans, all fans of everything fans. In the year 2017.
Yeah, Twitter goes ham for everything.
He's ever happy.
Yeah. So, and I don't necessarily mean the fans having to tip. Like even if it's just the promoter raising the money through sponsors or whatever, just to have a pool of money to tip the guys, you know. Let the people just vote on who had the best matches, and then, you know, the money comes out of that pool.
Yeah,
you know?
That. It helps, you know, the wrestlers push and strive more to, you know, get a better match out of their card, because so many guys, especially, like, here in the indie scene, that we see them, and they work for, you know, little to no money at some times. You know, it's nice to have something that it can make you, like, want more. Kind of like if you work in a store, like, oh, if you sell this amount, you know, you get this extra bonus. And that could be something cool, you know. I think if you're working hard, then why not?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's validation of, you can go out and say you had the match of the night, but if fans are throwing money in the ring, that's proof that you had the match of the night.
Also, I mean, like, if a promoter wants to be adventurous, and I know most indie promoters don't like paying indie wrestlers, like, but, you know, if they want to do something adventurous and admirable, come out at the end of the night and get in the ring and have, like, a little impromptu, like, UFC does press conference and announce who had performance of the night, who had fight of the night, and give them bonuses.
Yeah. Yes. Let's do that.
But also, I can see this
happening, though. I can see, like, and I don't even know if I would have a problem with it, but, like, a promoter wanting to take a cut of the guy's tips.
Oh, God.
I can totally see that greedy ass promoter doing that.
I don't know where this came about again, but I first saw it at PWG when Pentagon and Phoenix wrestled, and fans started throwing money in, and that seemed to be like a new thing.
It's not a new thing, man. That was happening in my match, in my lucha matches in Japan almost 30 years ago.
No, I get that, but the first time I saw it at an arena at a show I was filming was then, and it seemed to be like the craze, because prior to that, no one was doing that at PWG or at any wrestling shows.
Yeah. Well, they weren't doing it in Mexico anymore either for years up until recently. Because the whole time I lived in Mexico, I never saw it once.
Does that just mean wrestling is so much better now that people
a lot better again, yes. And people are going back to traditions and things like that, so, yeah.
What's the most you ever taken out of the tip ring
in
Mexico?
I have no idea, man. We didn't get tips. It was Japan that did it.
Oh, it was Japan.
Yeah. Yeah, and it wasn't always tips. There would be, like, snacks.
Steaks.
Things like that. Bread. Like, I mean, just...
Ribera jackets?
No, nothing like that. But, you know, I mean, things that we would all split up, divvy up between us.
Gift cards. That'd be pretty cool.
That'd be awesome.
Stuff like that. So
I'd take it.
Anyways, I'm sorry I didn't let everyone know we're being joined once again today. Bill Hanstock from uprocks.com
with
Spandex.
I'm a part of the family now.
Yeah.
Thanks again for having me back.
No, thank you. And, you know, over here on the couch, we have Jimbo and Denise.
Hi.
Hey.
Yeah, I just said them both at the same time.
I was like, who should go first? He was like, hey. So I was like, hey, too.
And then I was just totally, like, terrible manners. Like, I even announced Jimbo first. It's supposed to be ladies first.
It's okay.
Chivalry is dead around here. Damn it. No, that's not... We don't want to think that way, Denise. Like,
no.
Like, well, 2017, yeah, I'm all about, like, keeping chivalry alive.
I agree, too. Keep opening those doors, man. I love it.
Just keep manners. Yeah. Just, like, you know, be polite. That seems like it's dead,
too.
Oh,
you mean common sense?
Yeah. Common sense is not common, unfortunately.
So, anyways,
news.
We have other stuff to talk about here. Cody Rhodes won the ROH World Heavyweight title, and I know that was a really big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, it's a big deal in general, but it's a big deal for him especially. You know,
to bet on yourself and win.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
So I feel like a lot of guys that, you know, leave WWE, sometimes they want to say, like, oh, I want to create a buzz for myself. But I feel like one of the persons, Cody Rhodes, is one of those people that have really gone out there. I mean, he went everywhere, started wrestling everywhere, sometimes below the normal rate. And, you know, he's making a buzz for himself. And now that, you know, he's Ring of Honor champ, and then, you know, New Japan coming here in Long Beach facing Okada, like, this is huge for him. And I honestly feel so happy for him, because I think he really did deserve this, because not everybody is willing to put in the work that he did.
That's right. And he came from, you know, he wasn't brought up in the independent circuit. So it was something that he wanted to do. It's very important to him. And I have a lot of friends and that have criticized his decision or second guessed his decision. And I understand it from their point of view too, you know. But doing all the stuff that he's doing right now is obviously very important to him. And I don't like to judge other people's like choice of, you know, paths they take on their journey. And he seems to be a really happy guy these days. Mm-hmm. So, you know, okay, I don't disagree with other people's points of view, but I don't necessarily think they're right, you know, I mean, or wrong.
Was their point of view like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it?
No, the point of view is that it was silly for him to leave, and that he would, like, and that he's, you know, some, I've even heard people say he was a mark. And okay, that's fine. Like, I'm a mark too for things, you know.
I've been a mark since the day I was born.
And to a certain extent, we should be a mark for ourselves. Like I've said this on numerous occasions, if you're not a fan of yourself, why should anybody else be?
Right.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
You know, congratulations, Cody.
I'm really happy for him. He busted his lip open too in this match. He needed to get stitches.
I don't even know who he won the title from.
Chris Daniels.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
You know, so I was just in England, you know, this past weekend. Did I already mention that?
No. So how did flying out go?
I know no incidents, but I'm not going to lie, I was concerned.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, I was still, like, I had a lot of angst, you know, leading up to the trip. And I would have brought Lula with me.
But, if you weren't worried about...
Yeah, I was worried, like, what happens if I get pulled aside and, like, they find some reason to arrest me again? What would happen to her?
Have you taken her on a transatlantic flight before?
Never. No. I haven't been on any since I got her. I got her 2 days before I got arrested on my, you know, my way out of the country. With all that meth.
Yeah, with all that meth.
Meth and cash.
Just falling out of your ass the whole way.
You were there for 2 days, so how did everything go?
In England.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was... Where was I?
You were in England.
It was fine. I just... I had to... I didn't know if I was going to be able to go or not. Really? This is the truth of it.
Like, go in the ring?
No, be able to like make the show.
Oh, okay.
Because, like, the other... Last week, I was just in court, you know, not knowing if I was going to be in jail or not. So, it was kind of up in the air, and my flight was bought last minute, and, it was a long-ass flight. I went to Vancouver on the way there, and once I got there, it was like 12-hour flight, and then 7-hour drive from London to where my show was.
Oh, no.
Jeez. Yeah.
Awful.
Yeah, and then right into the ring, right from that 7-hour drive.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, no stop at the hotel, no shower, no douche, nothing like that.
Is this a photo from the show?
Yep.
That's dope.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the second night.
Now, they bought their own DX jerseys, right?
They had them, yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah. And I had nothing but my old ratty-ass tights. I need new tights. There's another picture for those of you that are listening. There's a big picture of my back. But it shows the crowd. There's a nice couple thousand people there. Nice. It was a nice
match.
So you did
two shows for the same company out there?
Yeah, and it was in the same town, and one was in their normal venue, which is like, you know, only holds several hundred people, but it's like a nightclub atmosphere. And then the show the next day was in this big arena. It was nice.
Both tag matches?
First night I tagged with Moose.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. We were victorious. Nice. We won. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We won. Excuse me, I burped.
How's the crowd different, though, from, like, the American crowd?
You know, they're getting... You know what? these days, the American crowd is really picking up a lot of the British crowd mannerisms.
Mudfall.
Yeah, yeah, things like that. So I don't know. It's things are getting a
closer.
Yeah, and I do notice that, and from some of the people I've talked to, the business has softened a little bit over there because of the overexposure, all the, you know, WWE stuff. So, I mean, they have felt some negative effects.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And at the same time, also, they've had about a 4-year, 5-year run in England with some pretty hot business. Mm-hmm. And, shit don't last forever. You know, a hot run doesn't last forever. So business is going to have to go down eventually.
Yeah, and if this is the downswing, it's only going to go back up.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah.
So, good for them. That's awesome.
So I got my bell rung a little bit. I wasn't going to mention it, but I did. It's when I used to get hit in the head before, I was always already pilled up or something. So, it was hard to tell what it was like, the difference between just being effed up on pills and things like that and, having your bell rung. But
you knew right away.
Yeah, yeah. Laying on the ground, having the deja vu and all that. Anybody that's been knocked out knows what I'm talking about. So I was hoping that wasn't... But as soon as it happens, it's like there's no mistaking it. Yeah. We can try to tell ourselves otherwise, but anyway. Enough about that. I made it back okay.
Yeah,
I'm here. I'm not in jail. Yeah.
Hooray.
Yeah.
I'm sure Baby Lou's happy about that.
And you made it back in time to hit up Raw, too.
That's right. Yeah, we made it to Raw, and it was good to see everybody. And then, you have the catering, where catering is. That's like the big place where everybody comes through, like every celebrity that's visiting comes through. And,
can you give us any scoops besides Josh Duhamel?
Oh, yeah, Josh Duhamel and Nick Schwartz. And I was sitting with those guys talking with them for a little bit.
Who else stopped by? Seth Green, probably. And
I didn't see Seth Green.
I think the crowd seemed a little bit, as far as celebrity-wise, it was a little bit smaller than usual.
From what I saw
on the outside, I didn't get the privy of going on.
Mario Lopez was there.
Ah, Mario.
Yeah,
was Freddie Prinze there? Freddie Prinze stopped by.
No, I don't know if I've ever seen. I've actually ever seen him at a wrestling show.
Okay.
Funny enough, even when he worked there, I don't know if I ever saw. So it was an interesting day at Raw.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of balls hanging around.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and when those guys came in, we're talking about LeVar Ball.
Yeah.
And his.
Big baller brand.
Yeah. No, I wasn't really familiar. I mean, I kind of knew what people were talking about these guys, but I didn't really know that much. I didn't know what they looked like or anything like that. But
his run up to the stage, the ring was absolutely hilarious.
The father, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because the son was
hilarious.
Yeah.
He was the only one that really seemed like he wanted to be there. The other two, the sons, they did not. They wished they were anywhere else. Yeah. Trust me, they did not want to be there.
Because I don't know if you saw it on TV, but it's like the LeVar ran, but then his son's like, "Yeah, my dad's a dork, and I'm just gonna, get on the ring like a normal person."
Well, imagine if your dad was in the ring getting his shirt, taking his shirt off.
I know the feeling. My dad dresses up in African attire all the time. It's very.
But he's not on USA Network doing that.
No, but he is on TV in Toronto.
Wonder what was going through his mind while he's just circling around the ring and doing all this.
He's enjoying it. He loves TV.
Yeah, LeVar just wants, if anyone's looking at him, he's happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and man, they should have known that this thing was going to go haywire. They should have known. This guy couldn't. He wasn't sticking with
the script.
The quote unquote script, this is why I don't like scripts.
Right.
This exact thing right here, because he stepped all over everyone else's stuff, and that's gonna. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I thought there was so much about this thing that was so entertaining to me, man. I'm not gonna lie. But I get why they were hot.
It was entertaining in like a train wreck way, though,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Like, what's going to happen?
Yeah,
next?
But that kind of stuff happens sometimes. And Vince, and it was funny because when the segment was over, well, when they got those guys out of the ring and they had that match, mm-hmm. Vince had them, he said, don't stop shooting. Follow them all the way back into gorilla position and everything. Like, he wanted all of it. He didn't want to miss anything.
And they put out exclusives on the YouTube channel as well, of, like, them talking about how their experience went being backstage and stuff. Yeah.
Well, they're hot. He just signed the Lakers, so, I mean, it's a big thing.
Yeah. Whenever there's, like, a celebrity guest or someone that they have, you know, on the show and, you know, like, something like this happens where it doesn't go as planned, from there, how does that affect the relationship, like, with, like, Vince McMahon and everybody that's making
What do you
decisions?
Mean everyone?
So, like, you know, obviously they said some things that, you know, Vince didn't like or, you know, they didn't like. So how does that affect the relationship between them two now? And you know,
Ooh, LeVar Ball and Vince McMahon?
Yeah.
There is no relationship. Okay. There was none before that. Mm-hmm. There's not going to be one in the future. I 100% guarantee it.
You were talking about how, like, everything went haywire and, you know, it was, you know, they should have known. It's kind of to be expected.
Yeah.
But I think WWE... From what I would assume is WWE doesn't really care all that much.
It was the...
Because it's so rare that WWE gets a chance to put people on TV that everyone in the world's talking about that week. Like, that never happens.
Mm-hmm.
Like, usually the best they can do is, like, guest host from, some of the characters from, like, Hot Tub Time Machine 2 stop by. Yeah. You know, like,
do you guys think they're making too big a deal out of this, you know, what a sunset, the N-bomb and all that?
Oh, yeah.
I do. I kind of do, man. I'm not going to lie, because we have to look at, I mean, keep in context. I mean, think about the situation and, you know, like that. His those kids, they're out of their element.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then his son is about to, I think he has one more year of high school left or something like that. I mean, that's what they say, unfortunately. Yeah. That's their lingo. So it was a frame of speech. And my rule of thumb is if Black Twitter doesn't go off on a tangent, then everybody is okay. So and we didn't even hear it when we were I didn't hear it at all. So I would have loved to know what the format or what would have transpired prior to that. Like what did they want to happen? Because I thought LeVar was going to fight or at least attempt to or, you know, body slam or something.
I didn't know. I thought there was going to be some physicality there.
I was hoping. He took off his shirt.
Yeah. You didn't look that bad for an old dude.
No, he didn't.
I was funny. I was overhearing a phone conversation yesterday about someone talking about the segment, and he's like, I couldn't tell about his body. Sometimes it looked fine. If it was when he was running around, I thought maybe just look, like my uncle.
Looked okay from the front.
Yeah.
It's that side shot.
Yeah.
But TK and I were talking about this before we got in the studio about how largely people weren't upset about it, but just the nature of how you have to conduct business these days. It's on a national cable channel, and it's a publicly traded company, so you have to put out a press release saying that you apologize.
That's right.
That's just how it is. And that was it. And that's that. And it's going to blow over. It's fine.
Right.
Yeah.
But it did a million page views for us.
It still did. Like, I mean, there was like so many elements. So the fact that you had them there, that was one thing that popped off. The fact that he took his shirt off is another thing. And then the son said the N-word, which is, you know, but that carried over. Like, there's still... There was a story about it today. So, I mean, it kind of...
You know, no, son, I don't know, like, how much of that went veered off course as far as the things that Miz said or whatever, or how much the son even knew was going to be said. So, if you're surprised by... If you all of a sudden hear this guy, you know, talking shit about you, about your dad, about what you have going on...
Yeah.
I mean, I can totally understand this kind of a reaction. Yeah.
And I think he also probably just assumed his mic would be off.
Yeah, I don't think he knew his mic was... I don't think he thought his mic was off. And I think he thought his mic was off or nobody would be able to pick it up. He didn't say it loud enough that he thought it would pick up. And then I think he wasn't... It was just more of a joke. That's in... If you listen to like a lot of rap songs and stuff like that, that was how he said it, how it looked like he said it, how I read that he said it. It's more of he was just saying like, okay, Dad, you need to
beat this guy's ass.
Yeah, essentially,
that's basically what he said.
Yeah. So,
it meant no more than that.
Yeah,
and you know that WWE isn't too upset about it because they had Big E goof on it the next night.
Oh yeah,
right. So yeah, listen, the things that I read, like, oh my God, they were all up in arms and everybody was going, no, they weren't.
No.
Trust me, no, they weren't. I mean, yeah, they were not happy about it. Some people less happy than others.
Yeah.
But
if you have Jesse Jackson next day, then that's the problem. But Jesse Jackson didn't say anything. I don't think he even knew what happened, so we're good.
Yeah, we're fine. I think that, no big deal.
What about the crowd reaction? There were, lots of boos as well, which you don't really see that towards, anybody from the Lakers in LA.
Oh, people hate him.
Yeah, the things that he said, the verbiage, the things that he said turn him heel anyways. Because people kind of like The Miz. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know he's a heel, but he's one of those type of heels.
Wait, are you talking about them booing LeVar?
Yeah.
Well, I think LeVar just came on as a heel anyway. Given up, he's been in the news for last 3-4 maybe even 6 months. He has the shoes. He had the audacity to say that his son is going to the Lakers, nobody else, which is not, that's where he wants his son to go, and that's where his son wants, which is legit, but people didn't like that.
Is it true that he cost his son millions of dollars by doing that?
No.
I mean, a Nike contract, but he has his own brand, and if his son does well in the next year and the next couple of years, that brand's gonna be that brand's gonna be great.
I think the one misstep that he made in this whole thing was going to every one of the sneaker companies and being like $1 billion, because he did that. He had meetings with every one of the sneaker companies. He's like, if you want my son, it's gonna be $1 billion. And then they all said,
did he put his pinky up to his mouth like this when he said it?
And then they all said no, and he's like, I'll make my own shoes. And he's out in the garage just cobbling shoes together. $500.
Like Bowerman from Nike back in the day.
Imagine how far everyone would get if they were kind of like LeVar in that way, where they were super hyped, hyping someone up, and then, getting all these things, even though you're asking for these crazy demands. Just so much confidence there.
Right. Well, confidence, and also it's his whole reason behind it is the whole legacy. He said it Serena Williams would have done that, or any major athlete, versus just signing to a shoe label and creating their own. Now you're creating a legacy within the communities, which is why he was trying to do that. So I could definitely respect it, but I can also see why people dislike him.
Yeah, you can see where it's admirable, and you can also see where it's like, maybe just...
Yeah, my thing is...
You really need to charge $500 for a shoe, man?
Well, I mean, there's Yeezys.
Yeah, but that's easy.
Yeah, it's Jesus.
And so what do you guys think was the major highlights of Raw? Because, I'm running around backstage stirring the shit, talking to different people,
trying to instigate fights.
Well...
Yeah, just your normal
not
stuff.
Not so much, but, just... seeing old friends and, talking about how much better we were back then than they are now and all that,
kids today.
sitting in the gorilla position and, towards the end there, it was right before the ladies' gauntlet match, and then and JR walked in and, because he's in town for the New Japan thing, and it's kind of weird seeing, and JR was even talking about it. He was, talking about how, when Vince called him to come back to work after his wife was killed, he'd already, he had this commitment with New Japan, and Vince has always been so good about that. Even when I came to work for him and I had a New Japan commitment, he's like, no, go fulfill your commitment. And Vince is, JR still has New Japan commitments up till the end of the year, mm-hmm. Whether it's the show coming up this weekend. We're all looking forward to, I think, or whatever. Vince's mentality is if you don't fulfill your commitments for them, how, what am I going to think you're going to do for how you know what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
You're going to treat me the same way when you leave me.
Yeah.
So I just, it's never hurt his business by being that way, and it sets a really good example.
I know JR said he wants to call Brock Lesnar Joe. Is that going to affect him doing that because he's under contract with New Japan?
No. Because Vince doesn't have a problem with it.
He's calling the Mae Young Classic.
Awesome.
Yeah. So, it was good to see, always good to see Jim.
So with someone contracted like him that's allowed to go between companies, does that mean we could see a Kenny Omega or an Okada?
No.
That's a stretch, Jimbo. Come on.
I'm saying.
Mauro Ranallo's doing Bellator and doing Floyd and Connor, but he's also now back doing NXT. So announcers, it's not as big a deal. If you have a wrestler, you want that wrestler to be your wrestler.
That's right. Yep, you don't want brand confusion. It's there's enough brand confusion there with the announcers going back and forth. Not with Mauro going and doing Bellator or the McGregor Mayweather fight.
Right.
I mean, that's outside of wrestling, but like when you're working for two major wrestling companies, the two biggest on the face of the earth, at the same time, that's a little different. Sure. So, anyways, what else is going on?
From Raw, I'm loving the entourage. I'm glad that Bo and Curtis are getting a chance to be back on TV regularly. Yeah. I loved the Women's Gauntlet, and I love everything that Titus is doing right now.
Enzo and Cash.
Enzo and Cass. That was pretty good.
It was good.
It was so fun because I brought a friend who like never saw like wrestling before, had no idea what was going on, and then Anissa was beside me, then me, and then my friend had no clue. It was just, it was amazing, and we were all standing up. It was such great. A great event. So
that was another thing where it kind of felt like a do over, like the women's Money in the Bank, because we were talking last time about how like, oh man, imagine if he had turned on them during their. There, you know, you can't teach that spiel.
That's right.
So this is another one where it felt kind of like a do-over, where like they made up. It's like, oh, they're putting them back together.
Yeah, I was really pissed about that.
And then you got the instant gratification of, and man, how good did that gorilla press down the ramp look?
Oh,
when he just press slammed the.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought we were talking about
Reigns getting tossed in the ambulance.
Yeah, that was amazing. Yeah,
there was a lot of good. I thought there were several good things on the show. Yeah,
for sure.
I was standing on the side of the stage, so I couldn't see where Strowman threw Reigns when he caught him in the choke slam. Yeah. Where did he throw him? Up against the side of the ambulance?
The side of the ambulance, yeah.
Did he take a hell of a bump?
He bounced off and then hit the railing.
Yeah, that was
disgusting looking.
Nice.
I also love Samoa Joe attacking Brock Lesnar from behind, get him in the Coquita Clutch, and Brock Lesnar sold that so well.
Yeah.
His face was so pink. Mm-hmm. I was like, leave it up to Brock to just like make it so pink. But that was awesome, again, because I'm so excited for this feud, that this was a good way to do it, like in a non-sanctioned kind of way.
In the way they do it, and the way Brock has his matches, and the way Joe will have his match with Brock, they're not just doing conventional wrestling spots. Shoot you and I'll reverse you. Like, I'm so sick of seeing that shit.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't think we're going to see a tackle drop down.
No,
between
man.
These two.
No, you're not. And I'm so happy about that. And I wish we would see less of it. We can do things. We can have great matches without all that shit.
When they went back into the screen there.
Yeah.
For a second, I was like, oh man, they're going to Kurt Angle Shane McMahon this thing, and he's going to go straight through that video board.
I thought something like that was going to happen, too.
So we were all standing by at UpRocks like, are we going to have to write about this one? Like,
yeah.
It was good, yeah. Raw was amazing.
And people, it doesn't matter that people are pretty much 100% sure who's going to win the match.
Sure.
It doesn't matter, man. The build-up is great.
Because of the last several matches, the last non-Goldberg matches that Brock has had, that have left people so disappointed. Like, expectations were through the roof for that Dean Ambrose WrestleMania match, and no fan was happy about how that match.
They weren't through the roof for me. I kind of knew that's how it was going
to
happen.
Well, I think we were all sort of, because the weeks building up to that match where like you had. Terry Funk giving him his chainsaw, and like, you know, all these really cool vignettes with Dean where you're like, something crazy is going to happen in this match. Like, that's the expectation they had built up. Like, this may not be, Brock may not be given like a huge effort in this match, but maybe something crazy will happen. And then it was just a suplex onto some chairs, you know? And so people were so bummed out about that. And they're bummed out about, like, basically, like, because from the time Lesnar destroyed Cena at SummerSlam and had that year of just like every time Brock Lesnar's around something exciting happens, every time Brock Lesnar's in a match it's a match of the year candidate, and then all of a sudden it was just, well, Brock Lesnar's kind of a letdown now. So I think now people are, this is a legitimate dream match that people want to see, and I hope that they both just give us a good show. And I think they will.
Yeah, they will. Oh yeah. And like, I think Brock is the clear babyface here. You know, I mean, there's no like, okay, Brock turned babyface. Like, and I'm not a fan of that, okay, we have to have an official turn. Some people are so caught up in that, man, whether it's Roman or whatever. It's, and that's fine if that's how, I just don't think it's that important.
Yeah.
That's just me. And Brock's a de facto babyface. Come on, man.
Yeah.
And so is Paul. When you've been around that long and you're that established and you're that dominant. Come on, how do you boo somebody like that?
It was like we were saying about the MMA fighters. They have that caliber that everyone wants to see them and pays to see them. And it doesn't matter what matches they're in. They're just cheered constantly.
Yeah.
Brock and Paul get that.
That's right.
For sure. Yep. I just don't see it. Like, I'm still up in the air of who's going to win. You were saying it's so decisive to see who's going to win. I'm still up in the air of, like,
and yeah,
oh,
don't,
it could be,
and
either one.
And, you know, I'm just saying everyone thinks that. Not saying that it's necessarily so, because Vince makes the decisions, and if he gets a wild hair up his ass,
things change
on Saturday night. Yeah, the finish has changed on Sunday after, you know.
It looks like Raw is starting to get that anything can happen mentality that SmackDown has had for quite some time, because everybody going into the number one contendership match in Extreme Rules was like, man, I would love to see Joe win. He's not, though. Mm-hmm. And they proved us wrong. So yeah. I at this point, I can legitimately think that anything can happen at Great Balls of Fire.
Yeah.
I think the ref gets knocked out and it ends weird and we don't get a decisive winner. And then it leads to,
or maybe Joe gets like a visual pinfall or something, and then
something to lead to more matches and building up to a cage. I think that's the big payoff, is the two of them locked in a cage to just.
I don't know, man. I don't know if I don't think they have long term plans for this feud, but it might, like, you know, things can change.
Sure,
you know, if that match gets over big, They'll get another one out of it. I mean, look what they're doing with Orton and Jinder. They're getting another one out of that.
Have you ever been in a situation where you're maybe not on pay-per-view or anything, but have you ever been in a situation where you were in a match and then the ref tells you the finish is different?
In the middle of the match?
Yeah. No, right?
Only one time.
Oh, yeah?
And it wasn't a pay-per-view.
Okay.
I was in England. No, where were we? I think France. It was like one of the few. It was the only time I'd ever been to France, and it was this company called AWR, American Wrestling Rampage. It was an Irish company that was
in France,
touring all of Europe.
Okay,
and did well because they were rock and roll concert promoters.
Oh, cool.
So I mean, we had buses. It was great, but I'm wrestling Sid Vicious, and I get to the ring and. The ref comes up to me and he says, Sid said just kick in the gut, powerbomb, finish. And I'm like, I looked at Sid and I'm like, huh? And he's going, yeah. And I'm like, whatever. I mean, like, it's going to, you know, it's going to be a short night.
Way, right?
And I did it and I just laid there and I didn't move, man, forever. Like, I beat me 1, 2, 3 and everybody's like looking like, what the F, and the promoter's like pissed, and I'm like, hey, what are you supposed to do? Yeah. You know, you go against that, it's just going to turn into a big, you know,
sure,
cluster F. So
it's just deciding which headache you want to go through, right?
It was just really crazy. It was a really weird situation. Mm. And I'm not 100% sure what the deal was, but, you know, nobody got hurt. So that answers that question. Yes. It has happened before.
That's crazy. Way to be professional and just be like, all right, that's what we're going to do.
Well, what's the other option?
Yeah. You start throwing potatoes or what?
No, but it just turns into a big mess, and it doesn't do anyone any good.
Was it a squash? Like literally ring the bell, kick you in the gut, powerbomb done?
The old Backlund diesel?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that Sid hadn't been in the ring in a while, and I think it was, hey, look, I've been there. I still get like that sometimes, where I'm like, get me out of here.
Like, bell's going to ring, I'm going to kick you in the face, hit you with the Bronco Buster, X Factor, we're done.
Yeah. So with the women's gauntlet match, I was sitting up at Gorilla Position talking to Paul and Steph.
I wish Emma had gotten more in. But I liked it a lot. I thought it did what it was supposed to do. Made Nia look like a monster. Kept Nia away from Alexa for a little bit longer.
Yep.
And show that Sasha just won by the skin of her teeth.
Yes, and as far as like, you know, the stock value of each of the ladies, like Nia's is through the roof right now.
Mm-hmm. This was a match where you got to see in real time what everyone's stock value was.
Yeah. Yep, that's right. And and those two, Nia and Sasha, just had great chemistry.
Oh,
there was things that weren't pretty, like, you know, not everything was smooth, which is fine with me. But like the drama and all of that and the David and Goliath matchup, it just doesn't get much better. Like at the end right here, right? Like this got kind of bumbled up a little bit, where she was, you know, trying to get up on her shoulders and it wasn't happening. But yeah, you know, it didn't really affect anything. The people were still with it.
Yeah, yeah.
And she did when Sasha did the Meteora off the apron.
Yeah,
she didn't land straight, and it was a totally safe bump, but it just looked like she murdered.
What Meteora?
Yeah, the running knees.
Oh, the carpet muncher? Modified carpet muncher?
Wow.
What?
I like that as a better name.
By the way, we got a really good response to your comments on your modified Bronco Buster last week on Benoit.
I bet.
Well, the crowd loved this, though, by the way. Everybody was super excited to see Sasha win, and I'm so happy for Sasha because I want to see her, you know, back up there in the women's ranks and stuff. So this was really good to see, and, you know, I think everyone loves Sasha.
Yeah, and she got a big standing ovation from everyone in the back in the gorilla position, and well-deserved.
This is another thing where it's like, it's clear that they're retraining the fans still, because even me, when it went on at, like, 7:30 or whatever, I was like, oh, I wonder what the main event's going to be. And I didn't expect it to go like 45 minutes, and I'm really happy it did.
Yeah.
So. I'm not sure. It was 45 minutes.
Well, I mean, like, entrances and everything. It started like 7:38 and then went to like 8 or something.
It was so good.
Do we know how they performed ratings-wise?
Yes.
And?
We do. Ratings slightly down from last week.
Yeah.
It was the first hour that dragged everything down. The second hour with the balls on it almost matched last week's average.
Yeah.
And then people pretty much stuck around for the third hour, but it was a very low first hour.
Gotcha.
Is there a comparison between Raw and SmackDown? Because I felt like SmackDown didn't do...
SmackDown numbers I don't think are out just yet, the overnights. But they've been pretty comparable lately. Yeah. They've been pretty close to each other.
Was SmackDown a good show this week overall?
I liked it a lot too.
And the I'm so happy Breezango's still getting vignettes because they're
Oh my god, it was so good this week.
Yeah.
Do you like the pre-taped ones better than the ones they tried to do in the ring?
This was a backstage one. They were interrogating the Ascension.
But I mean, because you know when they're in the ring and a lot of the good clever lines that they have get kind of lost in the, you know, with everything going on.
My favorite thing from this week was a visual gag where they bribed him with two tickets for Eddie Money.
No, two tickets to paradise.
Yeah, so good.
Nice. I heard Eddie Money was a cop at one time. What? I'm not sure if that's true or not.
Oh.
Yeah.
I think that's what helps them being backstage vignettes instead of in the ring is because, like Mark says, the visuals and the funny little pictures they have in the background, like Sami Zayn, and it says, too generic, needs a mask, you know, little things like that. Blue Steel, it's a picture of the old Blue Steel cage, you know.
And like, also being able to do the joke about how they can hear each other's thoughts and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
You can't do that in the ring.
Yeah, it's great.
And people love those little details. I feel like in anything that you watch on TV, whether it's a TV show or a movie, when you catch those little details, you're like, yes, I know
what that means. The little Easter eggs.
Yeah, it's nice. And I think that's the cool part that you mentioned, that they have that and people love that.
Sure.
You know what sucks going back to the ratings thing is all this LeVar Ball stuff is really still picking up, but that doesn't factor into WWE's ratings for Monday.
But
you still, like, when you get press like that, trust me, it moves the needle.
So
it
does. The Samoa Joe, they had the Samoa Joe Brock Lesnar pull apart brawl that opened Raw when they were going up against Game 5 of the NBA Finals. That show did the worst ratings like in history for Raw because it went up against Game 5 of the NBA Finals and it was the last game of the finals. Mm-hmm. But that opening segment that they put it on YouTube got like 5 million views.
See? Yeah.
It's not just ratings anymore.
Thank you.
And people don't understand that, and I think WWE does.
They do, man. And a lot of other people in the entertainment industry get that, too. Yeah. But there's a ton of people that just aren't buying it. They're just going, nope, these numbers suck, and so wrestling's doing terrible, and blah, 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 blah.
Those numbers cover taking into account DVR numbers as well.
No, those are the overnights.
Okay.
The DVR numbers.
Because you get the DVRs, the Hulus.
The DVR numbers add a few hundred thousand, but again, like that sort of thing is it's not like it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Television has become so balkanized and so niche, and people are watching so like, and this is like the like, I respect Dave Meltzer, but he just fundamentally doesn't get. Like, he puts a lot of stock in
ratings. The number, right?
Yeah, every week he tries to argue, like, people say ratings aren't the only story anymore, but that's not true. That's what television execs look like. That's why their negotiating power is bad.
Yeah, the television execs are holding on to it like an old ancient dinosaur that needs to be, you know, put out the pasture.
Old Yeller.
Yes.
Yeah. So he's right in that point, as in if these people care about it, and these are the people making decisions, and that's why we should matter. But of course, when it comes down to ratings, there's so much that affects every little thing, whether it's the NBA Finals or whatever, you know, whatever's going on at this time, you still can't discount the stuff that's going on YouTube, the social media footprint, all of that stuff, like, still, you know, contributes to a show's success. So, so yeah, I see both points, definitely.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody agrees.
I just had a brain fart.
Well, speaking of that, as far as like ratings and Hulu, Netflix, Glow.
That's a
wow, that was nice and smooth.
That's what she's
TK.
The best of the biz.
Yeah.
One day.
I watched pretty much every episode, I think.
I watched the first three.
Some were more memorable than others, and I think that just depended on where my mind was at the time that episode came on.
So. I love the show so much.
It was really good.
We were lucky enough to go to the premiere.
Yeah, the red carpet. Oh, the pink carpet.
How
the
was
pink
it?
Carpet. It was
awesome.
Where was
it? Good.
It was awesome.
Sunset, Arclight.
Hollywood, yeah.
Yeah.
The Cinerama Dome.
Yeah.
It was good.
Very hot, no shade at all.
Oh, yeah.
Second time in a year I've put on sunscreen for red carpet. Everybody.
All
Mark Maron there?
Yeah, Mark Maron. I talked to him. There's an interview up at UpRocks with him from the red carpet.
Brooke Hogan.
Brooke Hogan was there. Interview up at UpRocks at the red carpet.
Mama Stallone? No.
Johnny
Mama
Mundo.
Johnny Mundo was there.
For the same part that he played in the...
Salty the Sack.
Yeah, and really neither one of us resembled the part, like when you read the sides or whatever. Yeah. Like it's
supposed to be a big dumb guy, right?
Yeah, a big like drill sergeant type guy, and like... When I read that, and I'm like, I was so hot at my agent that sent me on that, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, God damn it. I'm, you know, like, my time is very valuable here. Like, I don't mind going and doing this, but not for a part that.
Part.
Yeah, come on.
So if it's supposed to be a big, dumb drill sergeant, and you want a wrestler that can act, who do you cast in that role?
I don't know if I cast a wrestler. I don't know. I mean,
Cena, they could afford him.
Because here's the thing, like, even the lines, a lot of the lines just weren't how we would say it.
Right.
So,
but there are so many wrestlers in the show that just killed it. Yeah. Brodus Clay was amazing. Oh, Carlito was amazing.
It took me a second to realize that was Carlito.
I did not realize it was Carlito until I read it.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I
didn't either.
I can't wait to get there.
But how big is the other guy, if he was that much bigger than Brodus?
It's funny because he was at the premiere. He was walking out after the screening. He was wearing like this big white tux.
Oh, my God. He's massive.
He walked out, and I heard all the ushers be like, that's got to be which wrestler is that? What wrestler? I was like, he's not a wrestler.
Winston James Francis. He's massive. He missed the red carpet, or the pink carpet. He came
so
after,
big,
and he had us take his picture. And I'm just like,
huge guy,
massive. Wow. Yeah,
well, nice guy. Casted Otto Schwanz from
Otto Schwanz,
from Omega. Do you remember that guy?
No, but
he was in Omega, like back in the day. Omega. He would have been a perfect role. Like, as soon as you said it the way you said it, he popped in my head. I was like, oh, this guy would have been perfect as that role.
But who we have to really single out, though, is Kia Stevens, the Amazing Kong.
She was great.
Oh, my God, she was amazing.
She's outstanding. Our first episode of the AfterBuzz Glow After Show aired on Sunday, and she was one of our guests. And just wonderful, very talented. Go check that out if you haven't, because she tells a lot of stories about growing up a huge fan of Glow, wanting to be a Glow girl all her life, and now she is one.
Yeah. Didn't bother you that the characters in the show weren't like they were just composites? I thought that was fine. I thought it's better that way.
I do too.
Yeah,
because now they can tell whatever story they want.
Yeah. That's right. And then you don't have someone going, "That's not accurate. Yeah. This isn't," you know.
And we talked about this on the after show too, and I think that that's fine because I feel like they paid incredible loving tribute to the concept of GLOW and to what went into making GLOW without having to tell a biopic about it.
Yeah.
And the people that I've seen get upset about it, compared to how upset wrestling fans normally get about stuff, it's been nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is a testament to how good this show is.
I don't think a lot of wrestling fans know what the details of how things really went that show and everything back then. See, there are some things about the series that stuck out to me. Not a lot, but some of the soundtrack wasn't from that era. Like, it was a little bit before or a little after. But that's just me...
Right,
you know,
you're like, wait a minute, this doesn't.
Because they never gave a specific era.
No,
they didn't
until Back to the Future. When was that?
I just saw Back to the Future like 2 years ago.
Yeah. I wonder how accurate that part is. If that's true, that's crazy, man. He's wanting to, you know. Wanting to make that movie.
And somebody else made it. I did like it because it was a good combination for people who are not wrestling fans.
Yeah.
They could still watch it. It was a really great storyline. It was well written.
It was excellent. So,
yeah, it was, I mean, it was a really good, I binge watched that one.
I mean, there was a lot of, you know, and it is a comedy, but there's a lot of comedies out there that I don't laugh at, guys. And
Mark Maron's hilarious. Yeah. It's outstanding. And this is the first, like, even including the wrestler, I feel like this is the first piece of media that's been made that's a prestige quality piece of media that cares about wrestling fans as people and what they think of it, and also cares about making a good show with characters that are full real people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what I dug about the series is how they. How they approached the use of the racial stereotypes and just the ethnic stereotypes and all that, like, because I mean it's just something that you can't make this show and not talk about.
Right, it's part of wrestling and especially that era of wrestling.
Yeah, yeah.
So. And they even included, you know, the people who were playing the racial stereotypes voiced their discomfort with it, you know, in a way that was period appropriate.
Yeah. Yeah. I asked some questions about that too. It is. I did like. I love the fact when I see a cast and it's multicultural, but it's not forced. It was really good. If you haven't seen it, you have to like check it out. At least give it a couple episodes.
Yeah. Did anybody go and watch the GLOW documentary who hadn't seen it after watching the series?
I watched it again before. Well, actually, I didn't watch the whole thing because I was like halfway through it on my Netflix queue. But I just went back and revisited it, and just because, like, who was the guy at Bash? Was that supposed to be David McClane? I'm assuming, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Or a comparable character.
Man, you could tell just those guys, they were doing tons of drugs. Oh my God, right?
But was that more so you can correct me if I'm wrong, the drugs, is that more like late 60s, 70s, or was it just all throughout the 80s as well?
What, wrestling?
Like the amount of drugs that they were, like, what they portrayed.
That was an 80s thing.
Okay.
Yeah, that's an 80s thing. Like, but in the 80s, like coke and all that stuff and excess and, you know.
A robot full of drugs.
Yeah, that's definitely so 80s, it's not even funny.
Okay.
Yeah.
Meth and coke.
Whatever. A to the Z.
Yeah.
That's how Uppers Iron Sheik used to say, A to the Z, Bubba. In Mexico, the A to the Z, they call it Tocho Marocho. Yeah, that means like you're on everything. I've had that.
Oh, no.
I've had that term used in describing me at times, unfortunately. Long time ago.
Out of the dark. You're out of the darkness.
Out of the darkness, people.
Yeah.
So. Hey, I didn't see all of SmackDown, but I did see the Money in the Bank. So, what do you guys think of that?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah?
I'm surprised that Carmella won again. Like, I thought it was going to be somebody. Like,
really?
I was kind of like, okay, I can see it. Like, I understood it, but then I was kind of hoping that somebody else would have won, but I don't hate it like I did last week.
I think if someone else would have won, it would have caused way more of an uproar. Sure. Of like, oh, well, why didn't they just do this in the first place? Why did they do that? But I thought this match was so much better than the pay-per-view match.
Was it? Yeah.
Oh, I loved it. All the cool ladder situations. They could have done a little bit more with the ladders itself for me, but I really enjoyed
it. And I love that... I love that they teased that, you know, the people were going to get screwed over again.
Oh, yeah, with Ellsworth.
Yeah, with Ellsworth, yeah. And it's funny because the finish that they did in this one was the finish that Austin thought they were going to do at the pay-per-view. That's because I...
That maybe they should have done
it. Yeah, I mean, to the T, to the him nutting himself on the ropes. Like, oh, wow. That was, like, what Austin said. Like, he had... On Austin's show, he had Wade Keller on, and they were going over it.
Right.
And they were mentioning, and Austin said, that's what I thought the finish was going to be. Yeah. And so...
He took that crotch like a champ.
He did, man, because that's not easy.
I'm sure.
Because it's really hard. I've tried that before, and I never got it, because you don't know, like, it's not something you're going to practice ahead of time. You know, and if you go a little bit too far, you're taking one hell of a spill. You know what I mean? You're not going to land on your balls on the ropes. You're going to be, you know, to the floor.
Yeah.
Who knows? But just double down a little bit. Get, you know, they're high on Carmella, and she's done a good job, and good for her.
Definitely.
I do have a question. So, like, if you say you do that ball to the rope type thing, and you have that almost, you know, that shooting pain, like you're still functional, like you haven't hurt anything, but that pain, like, oh my god, I just want to sit down. What do you mentally, like, what goes through
your... You mean the pain, like
the stomach ache from getting hit in the balls?
How do you know about all that? Does it feel the same when you get an ovary knocked?
No, that's why I'm asking.
Oh, okay.
Like,
I don't know. I'm just saying.
No, because I've been in situations where, like, you know, if I was running track, my hamstrings are on fire, but you still keep on going. Like, what's the? Is there like a thing? It's like, all
fall
right,
off the pedals when you ride your bike and hit them.
Oh, I fell off my bike many times. But yes.
But adrenaline keep you going, or?
Yeah.
I usually, like, for me, whenever I did, like, where I would ball myself, like, on the ropes or on the guardrail,
yeah,
it never hurt. Yeah, because I don't have really big balls.
You take them on your tailbone?
Yeah, they just kind of take it on my gooch.
Write that down, Jimbo. Press release.
Yeah, I didn't.
They take it on my
gooch. I never had anybody complain about the size of the other stuff. Just and nobody ever said, oh, your balls aren't big enough. Never heard that one before. Anyway, sorry.
I really liked on SmackDown was seeing the locals get their part on TV as security to drag Ellsworth out. Devin Sparks, who's a local guy, wrestles for Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, and Douglas James were both there. So, like, those are two friends of mine and people at AfterBuzz know. So nice. I was like, that's great.
Yeah.
Nice. Cool for them. That was great. It's always awesome when you see your friends on TV.
What else happened?
Small moment, but we had the Canellises out,
and they
were about to go into their whole spiel, and then Sami Zayn interrupts them and just starts doing his whole entrance, and it looks like they're setting up a Sami Zayn, Mike Canellis feud of some sort. But he has such a legitimate, like, oh my god, I'm so sorry. Were you guys still?
And he just keeps on going too.
I've got a match. Keep doing what you're doing. I love you guys, but I gotta go. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I kind of like what they're doing with those two.
I love it. I think
they're great. Their music is amazing.
And you know, like, it's. I don't know if it should be, but like, it's still like when you hear somebody like took the last name of their wife. Like
it's good easy heat because there's enough people that would be like,
it's like Simon Inoki married Antonio Inoki's daughter and he took on their last name.
Nice.
Yeah.
I mean, last name.
I get why he did it.
That's what Aiden English should do.
Huh. Oh. He a Guerrero.
Yeah.
Why not?
Aiden Guerrero.
If the name's more powerful, then why not?
Legacy. Well, I can think of a few reasons, but
I love it. You never know; it might start a trend somewhere down the line. Maybe it's too far fetched, but
you could do like a hyphenated, like a lot of folks do. But
yeah.
Huh. It seems like that's always been Mike's thing, though. Is like, no, I have her. Like, look, I have her. I remember I shot a video backstage, and like it was like Matt Hardy's like, oh, I've got the world title, and Mike's like, hold on, and he like just pulled Maria in the shot. He's like, I got her. So. Nice. I like it. I think it's great. Their music is amazing. Their whole entrance is going to be
I like their music awesome. Even more than I like Glorious Domination.
So yeah. back to the women's Money in the Bank match. I was talking to various people. What I suspected was 100% true. Every single person, pretty much in the company, did not want to ruin the finish of the first women's Money in the Bank match. That was all 100% Vince, and I get why he did it. He's like, because everyone thinks that way is the exact reason why we should do that. And I totally get that mentality. I think we should have not used that mentality this time, mm-hmm. but I get it. And I'm usually all for that. And it did work. I mean, it did work as far as, I think apparently just the talking about the women's Money in the Bank match the week before did good numbers. Mm-hmm. That segment did well.
Yeah.
So it kind of reinforces like Vince's, decision, but still, even like I talk, well, I'm not going to mention who I talked to. I don't want to get them heat.
But do you think you would remember it? Do you think you would remember it more now because of that, like, snafu and then her winning it technically the second time? Like, you know how you kind of like.
Yeah, I think it's more memorable, but I still think it, like, okay, we still can't take away the fact that the very first women's Money in the Bank match was sullied. That's how I look at it.
And then you had to have two matches to have the first women's Money in the Bank
right.
winner.
Yeah.
And then you had to be spread out over 3 weeks. And
yeah.
What did you think of a Naomi and Lana's match?
They had another one?
Yeah. It was short. short.
It was very short.
I'm not going to comment.
Bell rang. Naomi ran into Lana's finisher. Kicked out. Lana was stunned. Hit the split-legged moonsault. And that was it.
It was good?
Yeah. I mean, for
short and sweet. Yeah. I didn't know why they did it again.
Because all the other women were doing the other thing,
right?
So these women have to do this thing.
Yeah.
And then they announced the battle royal for next week, July 4th, as well.
The United States Championship for Kevin Owens, U.S.
Even just a normal battle royal.
Yeah, it's probably going to be AJ.
But don't ever rule out Rusev coming back, and also John Cena comes back.
Mm-hmm.
I hate regular battle royals. What a big pig F.
Yeah.
Yeah. People get hurt. Everyone's younger guys trying to get their shit in, trying to do high spots when you got 20 guys in the damn ring. And it's just like, no, come on, Anyways, I hate them, man. I hate
battle
royals.
Did anyone watch Talking Smack and see Kevin Owens? It's like, why does everything have battle in it? Battleground, battle this, battle that, and then Dan O'Brien's like, it's better than Great Balls of Fire.
Yeah, it is.
Brutal.
I guarantee I know whose idea that was.
I know that the Royal Rumble is meticulously booked.
Yeah.
Like, plotted out every instant. On just a Battle Royal, do you know what order people are supposed to be eliminated in, or not till the end?
That's about it.
Oh, so even from the beginning, you know who goes out first?
Not always like who, like in specific order, but usually like people have an idea. Hey, when you see so and so get dumped, that means you're next.
Okay.
Find somebody to throw you out, and then like people get all like funny about, I don't want this guy throwing me out, or I don't want to go out like that. Just throw me out. No one gives a shit about how you went out. Just get out.
The one thing that the one thing that fans get upset about, and it's a pet peeve of mine too, but I don't get up in arms about it, is when two people are helping someone try and eliminate someone, or someone's about to eliminate someone, and then another person comes over and kicks that person before they can eliminate them. Like, why would you do that? It's about a battle royal. You're supposed to be trying to win.
Yeah. Kurt Hennig used to get in there and like bring a padlock into the ring with him and like lock somebody's singlet to the ring ropes and grab a guy in a front face lock and everybody come over and smack him really hard on the back. Or I mean, it was always just a big mess in there.
Then
you wonder why people used to get hurt, right?
That sounds more like an Owen thing, the padlock to me.
No, the padlocks were Kurt Hennig gimmick. Yeah.
Wow.
He would put like on anything. On your luggage, right. Just so you have a little, something to carry in your luggage. He would take and put a padlock on your hood ornament, so when you're driving down the road, you hear that tea kettle effect, the whole time.
On the rail cars and everything?
Oh, yeah. On the windshield wiper. Oh. All right, it's just some, great stuff.
Great stuff.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Yeah.
What a good dude.
One time we took one time we got into somebody's car and actually removed the front seat. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Whose car?
I'm not going to tell you.
It's like Andre the Giants. He's like, so I can just drive from the back.
That's what I need. I need this.
Yeah, no. It was, you know, rent a car. You know, cars used to have bench seats a lot more than they do now.
Oh, so you took out the bench
seat? The bench seat, yeah. The
front. Holy shit.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What did you do with the seat? Just toss it in a dumpster?
Outside. Yeah.
Toss that.
Imagine explaining that.
I know, right?
Well, you guys would all take out insurance on the rental car, right?
So we took out full coverage.
Yeah, so you never know what happens. Here it is. It's on fire. Like when Jackass, when they rented the car.
I remember one time I had this Jeep Grand Cherokee I had rented. And I was out back when I was still drinking a long time ago. Just decided it was a good idea to go mudding in it. And thought it was this big old, you know, puddle, and there's a bunch of people doing it, and I ended up just flooding this thing, right? I mean, stuck in the middle of this thing, and you know, water's up to the, so I had to push it out, you know, and then I called the rental car. I said, yeah, I ran into a puddle and this thing stalled on me, come bring me a new one. They brought me a new one. They towed that one away.
How many millions of dollars in rental cars do you think wrestlers are responsible for damage?
I don't know, man. And you know, this is another thing that used to be done. I've done it a few times. Luger's the one that I got it from. It's like, you're in a big hurry, you're going to miss your flight, so you don't have time to turn the car in. You just pull up and you just get out and you leave the car, just leave it there.
Yeah.
Just leave it right there.
Because they'll call someone from the rental car place. Yeah.
Yep.
Are you ever like scared in that moment to like leave it there and just like...
No.
Yeah, full coverage.
Yeah.
I would have been
so paranoid. Look, making a lot of money at the time, and well, actually, sometimes not making that much money, but you're on the road so much that your mental health, just keeping yourself from cracking mentally, was like the most important thing. And so, you know, leaving a rental car here and there somewhere is just not that big a deal in the grand scheme of things.
I just picture the Lex Express pulling up. Yes. Just getting out and just like chucking the keys, like, gotta make my flight.
Yeah. Go. No, not even chucking keys, just leave the damn thing running. Just leave it running. It's a lot of crazy things used to happen.
You should do an X-Pac 1-2-360 someday. That's just an entire show of telling ribs and stories.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, we can do that.
Yeah. Next week.
I think
we can do it anytime.
You guys got a guest next week. You can't do it next week.
We'll leave that right there.
All right.
I think it's about time to wrap things up.
Yeah.
Yeah, before you do that, get high and watch wrestling.
Get high and watch wrestling has been postponed.
Yes, we
at
have
the Largo.
Hmm. Yeah.
That's all I know for right now. I don't know if it's got an official date yet. I'm pretty sure we do,
but I'm not the, like,
we'll tweet about it.
Yes. Sorry.
We'll tweet it out there and let you
I'm drawing a blank on it. Things are a little sketchy right now. I'm having a hard time recollecting certain things.
A little
things.
Cloudy in there.
Yeah.
It's okay.
So definitely find us. So you can find us on Twitter, The Real X-Pac, IG X-Pac 12360, Facebook X-Pac 12360 Show, and also AfterBuzz TV. For iTunes, 5 stars, and definitely leave your comments on YouTube and all that good stuff. We really, really appreciate it.
Sean also has a signing July 8th at the Wrestling Guys store. Check that out. Jack Swagger will be signing the same day as well. Tickets are available on the WrestlingGuysStore.com, or you could follow them on Twitter at WrestlingGuyHP.
Cool. Damn it. There was something else I was going to say. Now I can't remember what it was. All right. Well, I guess that's it for this week.
New Japan shows this weekend?
Yeah, New Japan shows. See you guys there. You going, TK?
I'll see.
Okay.
She's busy.
Right. Oh, God.
This is going to be a crazy wrestling week. It's New Japan, bar wrestling, PWG. It's all one week.
About bar wrestling.
Man.
Have you been to bar wrestling yet?
Not yet.
Yeah, Joey has. Anyway, never mind.
That should be awesome.
Yeah.
A lot of New Japan stars will be there, so get your tickets.
Yeah. Nice. Where can people buy tickets?
Barwrestling.com. Barwrestling.com or follow Joey Ryan on Twitter.
Cool.
He'll tweet about it. Follow me on Twitter at Jimbo.
Cool. Well, hey, everyone. Was there you going to say something?
She's going to say her Twitter handle.
Oh, good. Do it.
Yeah, seriously. Twitter, so you guys can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram at underscore Denise Salcedo.
Denise Salcedo.
Yeah.
Bill.
Not Salcedo.
You can find me on Twitter and everywhere on social media at Sundown Motel. Check out all of our writing at uprocks.com and withspandex.com, and follow TK for sure.
Thank you. You can follow me on everything at TK Trinidad. I am in the midst of my birthday season. I have a charity event coming up for the Boys and Girls Club, so follow me on Twitter. I'll give you all the details.
What does that mean, birthday season? Birthday is that like taking the birthday week and like...
It's actually birth season and 6 weeks long.
It's a girl thing.
It's a girl
thing. I thought the birthday week shit was bad enough.
No.
Yeah.
I just added a charity into this. It's going to be really good. Okay. Boys and girls.
All right.
Cool. All proceeds go to making sure that every Boys and Girls Club has a cake for TK.
I like that.
Yeah.
Add that to the memo.
I'm a big Boys and Girls Club fan. Yeah. United Way is excellent, actually. I went to the Boys Club when I was a kid.
Just like Vince.
Yeah.
Did they just have boys club? They don't have boys and girls
club? They had boys and girls. The girls club was right next door.
Oh.
It was great. I loved it.
There's some stories there. Okay, well, right. Make a note of that.
I had a crush on my female counselor. Yeah. All right. That's enough. Goodbye, everyone. We'll see you all next week right here on X-Pac 12360.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, Sean Waltman, producers Jimbo Frank and TK Trinidad, managing producer of AfterBuzz TV Wrestling Mark Donica, and the entire X-Pac 12360 staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in. Like us on Facebook, rate and comment on iTunes and YouTube, follow X-Pac on Twitter at TheRealXPac, and email us at xpac12360show@gmail.com. This has been a presentation of the AfterBuzz TV Network. Buzz you later!